My message this morning is entitled, Don't Worry, Be Happy. So Dr. Martin Luther King once said, peace is not merely the distant goal that we seek, but the means by which we arrive at that goal. I can't help but believe that happiness is fairly similar. For that matter, I believe that peace and happiness are, well, kindred spirits. So that said, happiness is a direction, not a destination. It isn't a place to which we attempt to arrive as much as it is a way we go about traveling. It's a feeling and a purpose that we carry with us through our daily activities. In many ways, it's sort of an emotional buffer that protects us from what can sometimes seem like constant letdowns and confusions in life. In other words, it's not just an important life skill, it's an essential one. Now, obviously, my message title is stolen from Bobby McFerrin's song of the same title, and I have to say, I in no way believe that it is possible to follow its directive all of the time. I do, however, I do believe that we all need to endeavor to follow it more frequently. So, let's spend a little bit of time thinking about what the practice of being happy looks like. So, to be happy, to be joyful, is to see the positive things, to see the positive in things, and to maintain a sense of hopefulness. You know it. You just know it when you see a joyful, joyous person with their whole smile and the energy that they seem to bring with them. It's almost like a light that some people carry with them. It's as if their happiness is just as present externally as it is internally. But one important step to figuring out how to more frequently travel this thing we call life this way is sorting out which strategies of happiness work for you and which ones do not. For example, lots of folks seem to believe that having certain materialistic things and wealth is a key to happiness, even though it has been shown over and over again that wealth provides only a temporary joy, if any, at all. Likewise, some folks seem to believe that focusing on a single goal, like a talent or a job or even some other person, is the key to joy. Frequently, though, a life lived that way can leave a person feeling empty and somewhat alone. The reality is, the answer to being happier and more joyous is deceptively simple and frustratingly difficult at the same time. The one best strategy to live joyously is to live in a way that aims to be joyous. The difficult truth, that particular difficult truth, is that the people who consistently focus on being happy, they are more naturally inclined to feeling happy. Again, happiness isn't a destination. It is a direction, a way we go about traveling. It isn't a place at which we attempt to arrive as much as it is a way we go about traveling. And yes, it can be difficult. And yes, it sometimes seems like those around us are acting as barriers to our happiness, preventing us from experiencing happiness. But you know, in the end, truly joyous people recognize that our ability to succeed at being happy, even if others are legitimately working against us, well, it rests fully in ourselves. And not only that, but they also seem to see that those whom we may be tempted to see as barriers still deserve the care and respect that we want for ourselves. To be joyous with others is to accept who they are, even if they choose a different path than ours. being a happier person impacts our lives positively in tons of ways. And I'm not just talking about how we experience our day-to-day activities. For example, a relatively new study from researchers in New Zealand and the United States suggests that a person's ability to express positive emotions is tied to the risk of heart disease. So, if you're happy and you know it, don't just clap your hands, tell someone. Or do both. See, in the study, participants took a test of their ability to express their positive emotions with just facial expressions. And then they also had their blood drawn, and their risk for cardiovascular disease was assessed based on their blood results, lifestyle, demographics. And believe it or not, it turned out that there was a correlation between people's heart health and their skill in expressing happiness. People who were more adept at communicating happiness through their body language also tended to be at a lower risk for heart disease. You know, in recent years, psychologists have begun to appreciate the benefits of happiness and positive emotions. Benefits that include everything from enhanced creativity to improved autoimmune system function. Dr. Barbara Fredrickson, who's actually out of UNC, she is a leader in the field of positive psychology. And in response to the question of what good are positive emotions, she gives several responses. First of all, it turns out that happiness broadens your focus and it expands your thinking. So positive emotions like joy and happiness, they expand your attention. When you're angry, your focus tends to be the source of your frustration, the object of your anger. And she says that when you are upset, your mind is like a heat-seeking missile bent on destruction. Now, contrast that to what happens when you get excited about something. Your mind actually opens up, and there's this sort of free flow of ideas and intellectual possibilities. Curiosity abounds. This is precisely why passion is so essential to artistic endeavors. It's also why there needs to be a high positivity ratio in the workplace if we want a high rate of productivity and a healthy bottom line. Now, on a related note, Dr. Fredrickson also says that happiness improves your ability to problem solve. She even suggests that when you're frustrated and you're having some trouble solving a problem that confronts you, what you need, she says, is a good laugh. It turns out, laughter can unfreeze a stuck brain. She says, to think of humor as a lubricant that allows the wheels, your thought processes, to once again move towards a solution. The mechanism that underlies effective problem solving, you see, is creativity. Happiness helps in the production of brain chemicals that aid in such activities. So, laugh it up. Now, happiness also builds physical, intellectual, and social resources. Now, maybe not so surprisingly, people are more playful when they are happy. They're interested more in things like golf and tennis and water skiing and scuba diving. Happy people are more likely to exercise on a regular basis. And part of this comes from a higher self-esteem seen in happy people. So in short, happiness translates into physical fitness, stronger muscles, improved heart-lung function, and increased flexibility. And people also learn better if they're in a positive state of mind. Now, for the most part, the most effective school teachers are the ones who find ways of making education enjoyable. Laughter makes kids pay attention And attention is a key of learning. If you think about it, the same is true when you go out looking for a class in continuing education. You want a speaker who's not only knowledgeable about the subject, but that who can be engaging about it in some way. And then not so surprisingly, people just gravitate towards positive people and avoid negative ones. If you're seeking a larger social group, happiness is part of the path to it. Happy people, obviously, are just more fun to be with. Nobody wants to spend much time around what Saturday Night Live has labeled Debbie Downer or a Daniel Downer, as the case may be. I intentionally avoided David for you. So. And here, though, here's why social relationships are so important. Warm, caring friendships provide a stabilizing support system. Good friends are validating, inspiring, even motivational. They boost our sense of purpose and belonging. And countless studies have shown that strong social bonds are a key to a well-lived life. Having a positive attitude just makes life easier. A positive outlook eases pain. It eases sadness. It eases grief. It's not so much that the bad things stop happening to you. You just deal with them better when you have a positive outlook. Alice Hertz Sommer is a Holocaust survivor who lived to the age of 108 years. And she was asked how she could be happy after living through such a tragedy like the Holocaust. And she replied, "I look for the good. I know there is bad, but I look for the good thing." Being able to see the positive, even when things are really tough, really is a secret to a happier life. Well, one of the reasons that being positive leads to a happier life might be that it has a positive influence on your loved ones. I mean, just think about those times when someone in your house is in a bad mood. The whole house responds to that negative energy. You can almost watch that negative energy move from room to room. Well, the same thing happens with happy energy. It's contagious. We affect each other. Now, as if, at this point, any of us would need more reasons to focus on being happy more of the time, it turns out happy people live longer. In a study of older British adults published by the, quote, Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, people who said that they were happy, even just for a little while, were less likely to die over that 5-year study. And the happier they were, the longer they lived. Overall, the results showed that older people who reported feeling happiest had a 35% lower risk of dying during the study than those who were less happy. Now, I'll conclude. I'm going to conclude with one last reason to be joyful. And you know, in some ways, given the current state of our nation, it's the most important one for me. When the world seems like it is full of hate and divisions, when every time you turn around, it seems like people are yelling names at each other and putting racism, sexism, ageism, lookism, heterosexism, so many other isms into play, one of the most effective forms of protest is to be happy anyway. To love people anyway. To encourage others anyway. Aja Monet, who's a contemporary American poet, has said, "Everybody wants to get free. But what is it going to look like when we're free? We must begin to practice that now." Happiness, joyfulness in the face of negativity, strife, and division of our nation. It is practicing what it looks like when we are finally free of those negative life approaches that pull us down as a nation and as a people. So, don't worry. Be happy. I mean, don't stop resisting. Don't stop resisting in the places we must resist. But don't forget for one moment that your happiness is possibly one of the most beautiful forms of resistance that you can offer. Any thoughts that today's message may have brought up for you? Are there those who have thoughts or questions they want to share?
In part, I'm responding to them. It makes a difference for me that I heard those ideas here because I'm part of a community that matters to me. It would help me no matter where I would hear something that helped me live a better life, but it means even more to me that I'm here with other people that I'm sharing community with.
Sure.
So I appreciate it. And I also did appreciate, I struggle all the time with having fun and doing things I want to do because I feel like I should be out there trying to save the world. But that doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. So yeah. Knowing that my creativity is more important.
Or as important, for sure. Others. Over here.
Thank you, Mark. I just have a couple of brief comments. One is a T-shirt that I saw that says, "Don't try pessimism. It never works anyway." And the other one is, a little bit about my trip to the grocery store yesterday. Harris Teeter, near me in High Point, has had some changes in personnel, change in the manager recently. And I used to go in there and I would hear music, not pay a lot of attention to it, but it was pleasant, and I went about and did my shopping. Yesterday, I went in there, and they were playing really, really upbeat tunes and singing, "Don't worry, be happy."
That's great. Thanks for sharing both of those. I need that T-shirt. That's brilliant.
In some of Will Rogers' philosophy, he points out a way to fulfill childhood dreams. Yesterday.
Mm.
If you get a chance, listen to the acceptance speech in person.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that. I didn't run across his philosophy when I was looking into this. I like that. I can see it being very true. Are there others?
I'll share what happened about 3 weeks ago for me. I had a doctor's appointment on my birthday about 3 weeks ago. They did blood work and all. And results came out. And one of the technicians called and told me later on, said, "Happy birthday, did you got Lyme disease?" And I said, "I do." But, after getting on antibiotics, and two or three days later, I got to feel much, much better. So the antibiotics went into my system. I continued to feel better. And one of the things that I determined to do was, first of all, the first few days, I was on the Internet trying to find out what the hell this is. So I spent 2 days researching and reading myself to death and hear all the things about Lyme disease and that. And I said, this is not going anywhere. I said, this is kind of trouble. And my mind starts running like this, it's going to be something else. But anyway, what I decided was that I was feeling better, and I said, I'm going to take this in the positive light. So some of the things you need to do is take care of yourself if you have Lyme disease. And we try to eat right, and we do a pretty good job, my wife and I, for eating, exercise, and things of that nature. But what I determined was that I'm going to use a positive attitude. I'm going to even ramp up my exercise, my eating, with eating sweets entirely. So what happened in a matter of the last 3 weeks, I continued to feel better and better. And I think it has, the antibiotics is good, but I think the positive attitude and going forward, to take care of yourself. I mean, yeah. It just gives me an emphasis to take care of myself. And the other thing, in reflecting, I did do a little bit of meditation during this period when my mind was going wild. But I was thinking over my life, I have been so blessed with good health. So I have never had a health problem. Mm-hmm. And I said, now, you come this far and no health problem. I mean, what is this Lyme? I said, so I decided to say it's just a bump in the road.
Right.
And I really hadn't even thought that much about it. Just keep on doing, taking care of myself.
Yeah, and all the studies back you up. Positive attitude can impact your health in a very positive way.
I think I shall be happy and worry anyway. That is to say, try to deal with what's going out there in a more with a more positive heart, rather than critically, condemningly, all those negative things, which is easy for me to do.
Yeah.
My father used to refer to me and my sisters as the kitchen cynics. And I realize that has lasted far too long in my life, so that's something that I'm trying to turn over, even though all those things. But still, try to breathe and have a little bit more light and be happy and worried. Be happy
Fair
to
enough.
Deal with things.
Fair enough.
So,
thanks for sharing that. Are there any other? Yeah, please.
Hi. The 9 o'clock service, which isn't always easy. And it was to hear your message.
Right.
And also to hear your music, because my brother is going through, he's going to make it. And I was going to have prayers. But my favorite artist is Jimmy Buffett. Who would ever think, in church that I would hear Jimmy Buffett's song? We're all connected.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
Thank you for sharing that. We'll certainly keep him in our thoughts and on our minds. And for those of us who are inclined, we'll be praying for him as well.
Which seems to me about making a wrap up that health and happiness are interrelated, and there also seems to me that health is not an end point. It's something you're achieving every day. I mean, you can't just say, well, I'm healthy. That's it. I'm done. Thank you, Mark. So we have time for announcements. We have them in the back.